and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling.
Grant us, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts, for as you always resist the proud who confide in their own strength, so you should forsake those who make their boast of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.
Amen.
Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Come, let us adore him.
Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night.
They are like trees that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the council of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way
A reading from Deuteronomy. Moses said to all Israel the words which the Lord commanded him. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing into the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
A reading from Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church and to your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and for your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, who, Father, I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me and in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated for you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owning me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sees a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Good morning. I just returned from Brevard, North Carolina, spending a few days with my parents. And then also I swung through Knoxville. My youngest daughter opened up a store, an art studio on Gay Street. So I've been away. And so this morning I had to put together my thoughts. Now, and I wrote them down. After spending time, well, even without spending time with my parents, I'm pretty clear that if Jesus returned, my mother would want me to drive her to the mall to see what kind of deals were going on there. we live in a market society, so there's a persistence in form. We are formed by all of these nudges and influences, right? It's even without thinking about it. And that's good, and it can also be difficult and challenging. So it's not surprising that we oftentimes want to somehow sell Christianity in the marketplace of competing ideas. Yet when Christianity is shaped toward the promotion and sell mentality, it more often than not becomes low cost and low risk, right? It tries to appeal to the need, our need, for comfort and convenience. How else will we persuade others to get involved, participate in the faith, if not by coming in with a lower or better offer? It's just what we do. But is Christianity, is Christian faith really a low-cost, low-risk endeavor? You know, the lectionary text for this week, Luke 14, 25 through 33, challenges this point of view. The text begins with two discipleship sayings that require absolute allegiance to Jesus. Then Jesus provides two brief stories or parables to illustrate the importance of counting the cost and giving up all for Jesus. Jesus' first discipleship saying is framed in stark language. "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself cannot be my disciple." This fits thematically with Luke 12, 51, 53, where Jesus warns of families being divided over his message. Because Jesus in his person and message requires those who follow him to answer the ultimate allegiance question, it is not surprising that he may bring family strife. I always assumed that he was having a bad day. You know, hate, the language of this particular saying really kind of troubles us. You know, it raises some concern. Does Jesus really call us to hate our biological families and our very lives? Two observations I think are helpful in this regard. First, Jesus is using hyperbolic language here, as he does frequently in his teachings. Say, for example, Matthew 18, cutting off your hand, poking out your own eye. This becomes clear when we compare this saying in Jesus with its parallel in Matthew. Matthew takes a slightly different tack. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew, drawing on the same Jesus tradition as Luke, seems to have interpreted the more stark language of hate to refer to primary allegiance. For Matthew, this saying indicates that our primary allegiance must be to Jesus rather than to family. A second helpful observation, the use of the word hate in Luke might reflect an idiom that comes from Hebrew. In Genesis 29, 30 through 31, we hear that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, and that Leah was hated by Jacob. This coheres with what we have seen in Luke and Matthew. Jesus is not calling his followers to hate their families in terms of emotional contempt. Instead, he calls for undivided loyalty to himself above family loyalty. The next saying emphasizes the same point about loyalty. Discipleship is defined by following Jesus and carrying the cross. This phrase indicates that giving up self-interest and competing loyalties are central to discipleship. Neither of these sayings of Jesus lend themselves to an easy believism or low-cost form of faith. Instead, they stress the high cost of following Jesus. The two brief parables that follow illustrate this cost by suggesting two scenarios. The first envisions a landowner building a tower, either for strong produce or guarding land and animals. If the landowner has not estimated how much the tower will cost, it is possible that the project will remain unfinished due to lack of funds. The end result will be ridicule from all who see the unfinished structure. The second story is about a king who assesses the number of his troops in light of the greater number that his enemy possesses. If he cannot win with the number of soldiers he has, the only wise course will be to negotiate with his enemy long before they meet in battle. Jesus uses these two stories to illustrate the necessity of counting the cost of discipleship. Jesus extols a commitment to finishing the discipleship journey once begun or not beginning at all. Following Jesus is an all or nothing proposition. The concluding summary makes the connections clear. None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. In this passage, Luke's Jesus calls people to a kind of discipleship that is not cheap, not easy, and not to be entered into without deep consideration of the consequences and costs. This passage speaks to the importance of loyalty and allegiance to Jesus over all other competing loyalties, including family, self-interest, and possessions. While emphasis in the earlier part of Luke 14 on the redemption and freedom that Jesus brings and the inclusive nature of God's kingdom are assumed in this last part of the chapter, those inclusive and redemptive themes should not take away our sense that here are some difficult sayings. We will always prefer preaching and teaching about God's grace. That is, God's own covenantal loyalty to redeem and save. But we ought not to neglect the covenant loyalty that is expected from us in return. Salvation in Jesus is not merely a transaction. It is, at heart, a lifelong relationship. And no relationship lasts without loyal commitment and actions, because the one who redeems us also calls us into costly choices. Now, I didn't make this stuff up. It's in here. The poet Mary Oliver, in one of her poems, describes Jesus as tender, luminous, and demanding. Indeed, Jesus' command to follow me is both a gift and a demand. While we continue to remake the way of Jesus in our own image, the simple truth of his intention and reality as we keep confronting in Scripture persists, and in Scripture persists as a foil to our modern folly. When I decided to become a priest, or when it was clear to me that I needed to follow that calling that was in me, I remember my mother sort of patted me on the head, on the hand, and said, "Well, just don't become a fanatic." And I'm thinking this morning about a quote by Martin Luther King, who was asked by a reporter if he was an extremist, and he said, "Well, it's not whether I'm an extremist, it's just what kind of an extremist am I?" And he was definitely an extremist for love. And I think I'm clear that's what Jesus, our Lord, is calling us into. So let's just become fanatics. Amen.
We give you thanks and praise, O God of creation. for the grandeur of all that you have made, saying, "We thank you, God." For the healing waters of creation, which bring pleasure and health, purity and life, we thank you, God. For the richness of the good earth that brings forth fruits and flowers, a pleasure to taste and a joy to behold, we thank you, God. For the soaring birds of the air and the crawling creatures on the earth and the gliding fish in the sea, for all creatures great and small with whom we share this precious web of life,
we thank you, God.
For the invigorating sunshine of day, the deepening mystery of night, the wonder of the stars and the call of the unknown in the universe, we thank you, God. We also pray for those of your own creation who are in sickness or trouble, especially J.R. and Courtney,
Pat, Gail, Priscilla, Greg, Cindy, Josie, Kelly, Barry, Pete, Kat, Xavier, Terry, Dale, Peter, Kelly, Holly, John James, Nicole, Family Leanne Hampton, Tommy, Malula, Paula, Margaret, Jackal John Jenny, Zach, Spunk, Bonnie, Amy, Lori, Cheryl, the Alley family, Christina, Cheryl, Jim and Dale, Woody, Lady, Luke, Bob, Judy, Robert, Jack, Robin,
Martha.
From the squandering resources, abusing our companion species, and polluting the habitat we all share, good Lord, deliver us from the folly of imagining ourselves free from the fate of your whole creation.
Good Lord, deliver us.
For the courage and wisdom to confess how little we have cared for your gifts.
Strengthen us, O Spirit.
For the conviction that you have called us to love and restore the earth.
Strengthen us, O Spirit.
For repentance and the determination to begin our stewardship anew.
Strengthen us, O Spirit.
O merciful Creator, your hand is open wide to satisfy the needs of every living creature. Make us always thankful for your loving providence, and grant that we, remembering the account that we must one day give, may be faithful stewards of your good gifts, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of your glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers, which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us.
We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him
and make him known, and through him and at all times and in all places may give thanks to you in all things.
Amen.